Hello and welcome to Truth in Journalism, a radio broadcast dedicated to applying the Word of God to current events. Well, today on Truth in Journalism, we're going to talk about repentance. So today we don't actually have a news story. We all know the news. We all know what's in the news. People have been doing nothing but watching the news lately. So even if I were somebody who actually watched the news regularly, believe it or not, I don't watch the news hardly at all. But even if I were a person who were a news junkie, I don't think there would be much of a story that I would want to talk about other than what we're going to talk about today. And I do know, I am aware that the title of the show is Truth in Journalism, and normally that means that we should be talking about journalism or doing some journalisming of our own. But this week, I'm not going to comment on journalism itself, as I often do, nor am I going to talk about the moral implications of the content of the news, which I often do. Instead, I want to speak directly about the state of our nation and primarily the state of our church. And I want to say from the beginning that what I'm going to say might be offensive. You might think it's bad theology even. But I'm not trying to offend and I'm not trying to do bad theology. I'm trying to be realistic. And I'm trying to give a realistic and yet nuanced view at how we look at the world and in this pandemic in particular. But what I want to do is I want to spend the majority of today's broadcast talking about a text of the Bible, reading a text of the Bible, in fact, and then from there we're going to give limited commentary because the text of the Bible speaks for itself. A lot of times, friends, the Bible doesn't need a lot of sermonizing, doesn't need a lot of explanation. The Word of God just needs to be read. Maybe that's something kind of foolish for a preacher to say, but a lot of times preachers are unnecessary. Sometimes you just need to read the Word of God, and God, through His Holy Spirit, can communicate just fine without my help. But today we're going to look at Deuteronomy 28, which I alluded to last week, but this week we're going to look at it in its entirety. So Deuteronomy 28, beginning in verse 1. If you fully obey the Lord your God and carefully follow all His commands I give you today, the Lord your God will set you on high above all the nations of the earth. And these blessings will come on you and accompany you if you obey the Lord your God. You will be blessed in the city and blessed in the country. The fruit of your womb will be blessed, and the crops of your land, and the young of your livestock, the calves of your herds, and the lambs of your flocks. Your basket and your kneading trough will be blessed. You will be blessed when you come in and blessed when you go out. The Lord will grant that the enemies who rise up against you will be defeated before you. They will come at you from one direction, but flee from you in seven. The Lord will send a blessing on your barns and on everything you put your hand to. The Lord, your God, will bless you in the land He has given you. The Lord will establish you as His holy people, as He promised you on oath, if you keep the commands of the Lord your God and walk in obedience to Him. Then all the peoples of the earth will see that you are called by the name of the Lord, and they will fear you. The Lord will grant you abundant prosperity in the fruit of your womb, the young of your livestock, and the crops of your ground in the land He swore to your ancestors to give you. The Lord will open up the heavens, the storehouses of His bounty, to send rain on your land in season and to bless all the work of your hands. You will lend to many nations but will borrow from none. The Lord will make you the head, not the tail. If you pay attention to the commands of the Lord your God that I give you this day, and carefully follow them, you will always be at the top, never at the bottom. Do not turn aside from any of the commands I give you today to the right or to the left, following other gods and serving them. Okay, let's pause right here. First of all, I am not a Pentecostal. Okay, I'm not a Pentecostal, I'm not a charismatic. I'm a dispensationalist, and I believe very firmly that the promises God gave to Israel are not promises given to the church. These are different economies altogether. I know that the promises, the blessing promises in Deuteronomy 28 are not given to the church, and they're not given to the nations of the world. However, the same God who gave those promises to Israel is the same God who rules over all the world. God tells Israel, "Obey me, and I will bless you." Do we honestly think that God does not deal with the nations of the world in a similar way today? I mean, throughout the Word of God, we're given snapshots that God raises up and casts down the nations of the world, and that God deals justly with them based upon their conformity to His desires. God's very clear about this. So even though we cannot take the promises of blessings in Deuteronomy 28 and say these apply directly to the United States, in precept they do. God blesses those who obey him. That's a universal truth throughout all of time. Now, not always in the same way, not always in the same manner, but always he blesses those who obey him. And speaking in general, broad terms, God blesses nations with physical, material abundance and prosperity when they obey him and when they fulfill his purposes. So, let's continue. Deuteronomy 28, 15 and following. However, if you do not obey the Lord your God and do not carefully follow all his commands and decrees I am giving you today, all these curses will come on you and overtake you. You will be cursed in the city and cursed in the country. Your basket and your kneading trough will be cursed. The fruit of your womb will be cursed, and the crops of your land, and the calves of your herds, and the lambs of your flocks. You'll be cursed when you come in and cursed when you go out. Just pause right here, really quick. Do you notice that the blessings and the curses are inverted? God doesn't come up with like all these new crazy curses that are separate from the blessings. They're polar opposites. You're either going to have prosperity and blessing on in the areas of finance, material blessing, rain, protection from enemies, economic development, security of lineage and progeny, or you're going to be cursed in those areas. It's very simple. It's very straightforward. God is not trying to trick anybody. The same way you will be blessed if you obey is the same way you'll be cursed if you disobey. Verse 20, the Lord will send on you curses, confusion, and rebuke in everything you put your hand to, until you are destroyed and come to sudden ruin because of the evil you have done in forsaking him. The Lord will plague you with diseases until he has destroyed you from the land you are entering to possess. The Lord will strike you with wasting disease, with fever and inflammation, with scorching heat and drought, with blight and mildew, which will plague you until you perish. The sky over your head will be bronze, the ground beneath you iron. The Lord will turn the rain of your country into dust and powder. It will come down from the skies until you are destroyed. The Lord will cause you to be defeated before your enemies. You will come at them from one direction, but flee from them in seven. You will become a thing of horror to all the kingdoms on earth. Your carcasses will be food for all the birds and the wild animals, and there will be no one to frighten them away. The Lord will afflict you with the boils of Egypt and with tumors, festering sores, and the itch from which you cannot be cured. The Lord will afflict you with madness, blindness, and confusion of mind. At midday, you will grope about like a blind person in the dark. You will be unsuccessful in everything you do. Day after day, you'll be oppressed and robbed with no one to rescue you. You will be pledged to be married to a woman, but another will take her and rape her. You will build a house, but you will not live in it. You will plant a vineyard, but you will not even begin to enjoy its fruit. Your ox will be slaughtered before your eyes, and you will eat none of it. Your donkey will be forcibly taken from you and will not be returned. Your sheep will be given to your enemies, and no one will rescue them. Your sons and daughters will be given to another nation, and you will wear out your eyes watching for them day after day, powerless to lift a hand. A people that you do not know will eat what your land and labor produce, and you will have nothing but cruel oppression all your days. The sights you see will drive you mad. The Lord will afflict your knees and legs with painful boils that cannot be cured, spreading from the soles of your feet to the top of your head. The Lord will drive you and the king you set over you to a nation unknown to you or your ancestors. There you will worship other gods, gods of wood and stone. You will become a thing of horror, a byword, and an object of ridicule among all the peoples where the Lord will drive you. You will sow much seed in the field, but will harvest little, because locusts will devour it. You will plant vineyards and cultivate them, but you will not drink the wine or gather the grapes, because worms will eat them. You will have olive trees throughout your country, but you will not use the oil, because the olives will drop off. You will have sons and daughters, but you will not keep them, because they will go into captivity. Swarms of locusts will take over all of your trees and the crops of your land. The foreigners who reside among you will rise above you higher and higher, but you will sink lower and lower. They will lend to you, but you will not lend to them. They will be the head, but you will be the tail. All these curses will come on you. They will pursue you and overtake you until you are destroyed because you did not obey the Lord your God and observe the commands and decrees he gave you. They will be a sign and a wonder to you and your descendants forever because you did not serve the Lord your God joyfully and gladly in the time of prosperity Therefore, in hunger and thirst, in nakedness and dire poverty, you will serve the enemies the Lord sends against you. He will put an iron yoke on your neck until he has destroyed you. The Lord will bring a nation against you from far away, from the ends of the earth, like an eagle swooping down, a nation whose language you will not understand, a fierce-looking nation without respect for the old or pity for the young. They will devour the young of your livestock and the crops of your land until you are destroyed. They will leave you no grain, new wine or olive oil, nor any calves of your herds or lambs of your flocks until you are ruined. They will lay siege to all of your cities throughout your land until your high fortified walls in which you trust fall down. They will besiege all the cities throughout the land the Lord your God has given you. Because of the suffering your enemy will inflict on you during the siege, you will eat the fruit of your womb, the flesh of the sons and daughters the Lord your God has given you. Even the most gentle and sensitive man among you will have no compassion on his own brother or the wife he loves or his surviving children. He will not give to one of them any of the flesh of his child that he is eating. It will be all he has left because of the suffering your enemy will inflict on you during the siege of your cities. The most gentle and sensitive woman among you, so sensitive and gentle that she would not venture to touch the ground with the sole of her foot, will begrudge the husband she loves and her own son or daughter, the afterbirth from her womb and the children she bears. For in her dire need, she intends to eat them secretly because of the suffering your enemy will inflict on you during the siege of your cities. If you do not carefully follow all the words of this law, which are written in this book, and do not revere this glorious and awesome name, the Lord your God, the Lord will send fearful plagues on you and your descendants, harsh and prolonged disasters, and severe and lingering illnesses. He will bring on you all the diseases of Egypt that you dreaded, and they will cling to you. The Lord will also bring on you every kind of sickness and disaster not recorded in this book of the law until you are destroyed. You, who were as numerous as the stars of the sky, will be left with but a few in number, because you did not obey the Lord your God. Just as it pleased the Lord to make you prosper and increase in number, so it will please him to ruin and to destroy you. You will be uprooted from the land you are entering to possess. Then the Lord will scatter you among the nations from one end of the earth to the other. There you will worship other gods, gods of wood and stone, which neither you nor your ancestors have known. Among those nations you will find no repose, no resting place for the sole of your foot. There the Lord will give you an anxious mind, eyes weary with longing and a despairing heart. You will live in constant suspense, filled with dread both day and night, never sure of life. In the morning you will say, if only it were evening, and in the evening, if only it were morning, because of the terror that will fill your hearts and the sights that your eyes will see. The Lord will send you back in ships to Egypt on a journey I said you should never make again. There you will offer yourselves for sale to your enemies as male and female slaves, but no one will buy you. Brothers and sisters, friends, I'm not saying that we live under this Deuteronomic code. I'm not saying that we're subject to the blessings and cursings of Deuteronomy 28, but what I am saying is that God fulfilled to the letter what Moses said would happen. Friends, if this is how God deals with the apple of his eye, if that's how God punishes his chosen people, if that's how God treats the nation of promise, how will he treat us? Will we face any less stern punishment? So what am I saying? Am I saying coronavirus is a punishment from God? No, I'm not saying that. But I'm not ruling it out either. So what am I saying? What am I saying we need to do? We need to repent. America needs to repent. We need to repent of our baby murder. We need to repent of our sexual immorality. We need to repent of our greed, gossip, and gluttony. We need to repent of our selfishness. We need to repent of our pride. We need to repent of our laziness. We need to repent. We need to turn away from sin and turn to Christ. We need to turn away from living for self and turn to living for Christ. We need to turn away from love of self and turn to love of Christ. We need to repent. We need to repent. And we need to repent before it's too late. Because there is such a thing as a point of no return. There is such a thing in God's universe as too late. There is such a thing as time running out. We need to repent. I hope and pray we will. And I hope you'll join us again next week for another exciting episode of Truth and Journalism. Thank you. and may God bless your day to his glory.